And finally today, we get to visit with a musician who's been described by Rolling Stone, no less, as one of the most fascinating and eccentric voices in country music.
Roll up to the club in my 1964 Caddy straight ready to stunt at a quarter to one, just looking for fun.
That is Paul Coffin. He's impressed audiences with his soulful take on country music. His latest album, Room 41, takes on despair, destruction, and redemption. And Paul Coffin is with us now from member station KERA in Dallas, Texas. Mr. Coffin, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey there, Michelle. It's good to be here.
So, you know, I got to ask you about the title, Room 41.
Yes, ma'am. Well, here in Dallas, Texas, there's a hotel, the Belmont Hotel. And I happened to stay in room 41 for almost 2 years. So I figured after we wrote all the songs there, we were searching for a title. And I was like, well, how about room 41? I mean, that's where this all went down. So it just kind of brought itself to the table. And that's what the title became. And we ran with it.
How would you describe your sound? And I know that, again, artists hate to do that. They hate being pigeonholed in that way. But how would you describe your sound? I've already described how some of the critics have described your sound. What do you say?
The thing about it is I haven't been following the lead of any other genre or sound. So our goal was to kind of create our own genre. Let it just be our music. Good music, you know. I wish we could get back to two genres, good and bad. But it's really kind of all cross-contaminated. And I think we just call it our genre.
There's a devil on my shoulder and he's doubling down, throwing his weight all over town. Stable, off the table. I've been shrugging off redemption for judgment day. Threw it all out before I held it. Now you're gonna meet the real big.
It's like nothing else. We took from rhythm and blues, we took from the country western, we've taken from hip hop, we've taken from jazz, we've taken from funk. You know, we try to have all those little spices. I always go back to food because I love food. So we take all these spices and, you know, that's our genre.
Now you're going to meet the real big velvet.
Well, and people can hear the faith piece. You said, you know, you love food, but you also feel the faith. I feel the faith in it.
Yeah.
Let me play. Do you mind if I play something off your album, Prayed for Rain?
Go ahead.
Let me play a little bit of that, and we can talk a little bit more.
You know, some things will never change. I think about it when I pray for rain. Rain turns. It beat me as I fell, Lord, I fell.
There's some serious thoughts here, some serious sort of spiritual and philosophical thoughts, if you don't mind my saying. It's not too fancy. I understand that your family is deeply rooted in religion with the church. I understand your grandfather was a song leader in the Church of Christ.
Song leader, and his twin brother was the preacher.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of had a little duo, the little Everly Brothers Christian Church of Christ duo going on.
Did you see yourself when you were growing up as belonging to that tradition? I mean, did you feel like that was your destiny to sing in church?
Well, I was just scared of getting pinched by my grandmother, you know. She would, what we say in East Texas, pinch a plug in you if you didn't sing or you acted up there in the pew. So you sing loud and you read out of the hymnal and you read the Bible, and if you don't, you're going to get swatted or pinched. So I tried to stick in between the lines, and then all of a sudden I was like, wow, I can sing harmony and I can pick out the parts. It's because I was scared of getting pinched by my grandmother.
All my friends, we were born survivors. And every time I close my eyes, I'm dreaming about tomorrow.
What role do you feel like your faith plays in what you're trying to say now, or however you see yourself spiritually? Or do you know what I mean? Are you trying to connect to a bigger thought than you think a lot of people are. I mean, I know you've called out a lot of people for sort of focusing on the trivial, like about, you know, tan lines and flip-flops and cold beer, and it's all about that.
Yeah.
And you are thinking some sort of bigger thoughts, but how do you feel that maybe your upbringing or your spiritual orientation reflects to what you're trying to say?
Well, I'm pretty much I'd be a fifth-generation preacher or song leader in the church, and I feel like it's my duty to try to spread goodwill to humanity and try to help people throughout their day through song. And whether it makes them sad or happy, maybe it touches an emotion that it allows them to cope or get through a tough time. I'm a spiritual person. I'm a believer. That's what I try to preach. The only thing that I'm preaching is be good to one another and leave the hate behind. And this is our generation, so let's make the best of it.
Okay, but you are not afraid of a little Holy Ghost fire, if I may say. Not afraid of it. All right, I'm going to play Everybody Walk in This Land.
All your races, fastest, nihilists, and bigots, I'm calling you out, my friend. I felt your hurt, drank your fear, your actions will not stand. Get on your knees, begin to pray. Look at me, you can change, you racist, fascist, nihilist, and bigots, I'm calling you out, my friend.
I could play more, but you get the gist of it. Did anything in particular bring this out?
Well, I wrote that song with my producer in Dallas, and it was crazy. It was one of the craziest co-writes I've ever been in, because we felt like there was a third party involved, and like we were called to do this song. I was like, what are we doing here, man? We're writing a Bob Dylan tune or something, you know? It's just like, what is this? Bob Dylan tune meets, you know, God's Gonna Cut You Down, Johnny Cash or something. And I was just like trying to pull out whatever I can. And all of a sudden, we're just racist, fascist, nihilist, bigots, you know? We're just like, those people, let's talk to them, you know?
Do you ever play it in concert?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How does it go down?
It quiets the crowd. It's kind of crazy. And then the last verse comes up, we bring it up, we modulate, and we really rip into it, and it becomes beautifully dynamic.
Your mothers, your brothers, your sisters, your fathers, your believers, pretenders, bona fide sinners, racist, fascist, nihilists, and bigots, prophets, saints, and angels, and the ladies, all you gentlemen.
It's been good. It's been received pretty well.
Well, one of the things I like about the lyric is where you say, I have felt your hurt. I've drank your fear.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there. Yeah.
I grew up in East Texas. I was never a racist or anything. You know, I've been taught certain ways, and I've heard things, and I've accepted it, and that is wrong. Just being around it and hearing racial slurs or this or that, that's when you make a stand in life. And I've learned from that, and we're all kind of screwed up right now, and so I just try to write some lyrics that can maybe prick somebody's heart.
You've got a song, Give Him Peace, and have you found your peace?
Oh, yes. I have never been so peaceful in all my life. I've finally gotten to a point where I've got a little condo in Dallas, and I can go on the road, and the band can get paid, and... You know, it's awesome. Just those things, you know, putting gas in the tank, you know, I'm just trying to stay blue collar for the rest of my life, no matter how much money I make.
Well, Lord, whomever you shall be, send your grace on me, ones who want peace, I'll give them peace.
That was Paul Cawthon. His new album, Room 41, is out now. Paul Cawthon, thanks so much for talking with us. Congrats.
Thank you, Michelle.
Sinless hands, everybody repents and sins again and again. Well, that's just human nature. Well, Lord, whomever you shall be, send your grace on thee. Ones who won't.